Agent. Yes, sir, man. We back for part two, man, of episode number 50. Had to break this bitch up, man. This shit's gonna be about 2 damn hours, man. A mega show.
Fill up that iPod real quick.
Hell yeah. And I want to introduce my man Fro, just got in the building. What's
good?
Welcome back.
What's happening?
LL Cool P is in the building.
So, yeah, man. Shoot, apologies to Gif, man.
Big time, man.
The winner from episode number 48. We running way behind.
I take full responsibility for that, for not remembering that. So no disrespect intended, man. So he missed a train for us and everything, so let's call him, man.
J-Mac is responsible for the CPT?
I am, yes. Oh, white guy, no. Fuck up, man.
White guy time.
This is weird.
Yes.
Yeah, that shit don't sound right, dude.
No. Sorry, man. What? Wait a second.
I'm all confused.
Oh, man, Gif. I feel bad. I'm a dick.
Yo.
Gif.
What's good, homie?
What's good, homie? One second, man. Hold on.
All right.
Dude, you can put us hold on for on hold for like 5 minutes. I totally deserve it. Totally deserve it.
What's popping, bro?
What's good, man? We do it up straight ass style, man. You want me with a mouthful of French fries getting on the goddamn bus.
Oh, man. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Yo, tell us about the track, man. No Born ID real quick, man, because that shit was...
What was your inspiration?
Yeah, that shit was fire, first of all, but it was deep as hell, man. So, yeah, explain that one.
Well, basically, man, I did that song first, man. I was thinking about going at all of the chicks, man, that I used to see running around with, like, the dashikis on, you know, and all of, like, the African garments, and they hang out with nothing but white people, you know what I'm saying? Like, anytime anybody black steps to them or say anything to them, they, like, got their nose in the air, looking wild and poor, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So it was like, I wanted to get at them, but then as I started doing it, it kind of transformed, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I started thinking about other stuff. There was a girl I was messing with that was biracial, man, and I was like, damn, just the things that she was going through, so it transformed into what it became, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel that, man. The shit was fire, man. Who did the production on that one? Cause that,
man, Jay Soul, man. Okay. Jay Soul, man, one of the best, man. That dude is up-and-coming producer, man. He's ill, yo.
Yeah.
He actually produced another track I got coming that, oh, my God, it's going to be a banger. It's like Piece of the Pie, man. Wait till you hear that, son.
Oh, word. You got
to
submit.
You
got
to submit that one to us, man, because, yeah, anything that's going to be heat like that, we want to spin it for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it got me, my man Cav on there, man, my man Nova. It's going to be bananas, yo.
So I was checking out your blog. You got a blog out there. What was the URL for that again? The website address?
Oh, it's called You Be the Judge, man.
That's like some crazy shit. Like, I can barely understand because it's like deep shit that I'll never fucking get. Seriously.
Ding, 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 ding.
That stupid shit is like, that's like above the white dude's head, man. I sit there and read that. I'm like, stupid. What? What? This guy's deep as fuck. I can't understand what he's talking about. What?
Yeah, this guy, man.
It ain't really like nothing complicated like that, man. It's just simple stuff, you know? Like, if people like took the time to like actually think and take away from, it's like, okay. Yeah, man, but it's like the big thing with people, man, a lot of people just accept what they've been taught, man. They don't take the time to think for themselves. And if people took the time to think for themselves, then they'd get a lot of the stuff that I say.
I feel you.
Yes, sir.
I feel that. So, man, what's up next for you, man? New CD getting ready to drop.
Man? The drop of this album, man. You know, I got all hell for the new Nigga Nation coming, man. You know what I'm saying? And No Born ID is going to be on there, man. My joint Old Love is going to be on there. The Piece of the Pie track going to be on there.
When's your album dropping?
My album should be dropping on October 22nd, man. I'm dropping it on my birthday.
Okay. And go ahead and throw out your, shoot, any websites you got out there, man. MySpace, go ahead and put it out there.
Yeah, man, it's www.myspace.com/thegift, man. Make sure you check it, dude, out, man. Blow it up, yo.
Let us know when that album drops. We'll post it up and let everybody know.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm definitely going to hit y'all dudes, man.
Oh, good looking, man. Should we apologize for the timing, though, man, but it's good to talk with you.
It's all gravy, homie. It's all gravy.
Man. All right, man. We be in touch, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
Dig it.
All right.
Have a good one.
One. Gif right there, dude. Man. Cool cat, man.
I like Gif.
That's it. You stupid, bro. Dude said, I don't understand.
I don't, man. It's the black righteous space,
yeah,
shit.
I want to propose this right now, man. A K Beta and Gif collabo. We said, his is all hail the new Nigger Nation. And then, other you know, one K-Beta is Nigger the Autobiography. That's hot. You know what I'm saying?
That shit will make my head explode. Wow. My white little head explode.
Bro, can we get the all Nigger?
Wow. Yes.
That is ain't that good some idea. Hot
shit? Look, at Fro's like looking left and right at the ceiling. He's like, I'm thinking. He's
I'm
on,
stumped.
He's processing.
I don't even know what to say. Look that is...
Just think of the possibilities.
George Bush will get overthrown if those two come together.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bush, man, I know y'all peep Chamillionaire new shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He going at everybody. I love the message. The message is crazy.
I like
video
that.
Is funny. To me, it's like comedy almost, man.
That news ticker
is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Like,
did you see the shit it was saying about Mel Gibson in there?
I missed that one. There's so much going on. Yeah. What did he say?
They were basically, if I remember correctly, it was like saying that he was going to end up doing something at one of the Jewish temples or some shit. He's going to be like a fucking, I was laughing so hard. I was like, that shit's fucked up, man.
Motherfuckers is crazy, man.
Anyway.
That shit's nuts, man.
Chicken in the graveyard, man.
Yeah.
He makes a better white boy than Chappelle.
Yeah, he do, man. He
it's
do.
Funny.
He does.
The way they had his makeup looking, he looked almost official.
What do you know about white people?
You gotta give them some pound, and then that's the, you know, the real.
What do you know
real
about white
test.
People?
Like, you know,
I know Elijah because I work with your silly ass. I know a lot now. Fully educated.
Speaking
bro.
Of white people, man, I went to a softball game. I never been to a softball game.
Oh, wow, God. And I the guess... only white person to never be to a softball.
Yo, you a different breed, J-Man.
They're like, I got dragged to it. I didn't even want to fucking go because I know the types that hang out at this shit.
And what types is that?
White.
Yeah. That's basically it. Whites.
He said white.
I hate
whites.
My people. I hate them.
Tell me one of the shits you told me, though, man.
No,
you had
man.
Me laughing, bro.
I can't remember what I told you, but, man, we showed up, and there was, like, I'm not kidding, man. It was, like, I just wanted to watch and see this game because my wife had friends that were playing. And, man, there's first thing I saw was a dude with his hat on backwards. Not like his hat on backwards. That shit was sitting on the back of his head like
on
the
hook,
fucking
on hook.
Yeah, on the yeah, exactly.
Oh, like where the bill was stabbing him in his neck.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And he had a fucking ponytail down to the middle of his back.
He didn't want
to
be a redneck. It's protect him from the sun.
This motherfucker was getting ready to fucking go play. He shotguns a beer. He was like, yeah! Yeah, look at the fucking kick some ass.
Did he give it a
Yeah, I don't know what number that fucking sound effect is, but I'd do it right now. But this motherfucker,
I think we got rid of it, dog.
You just killed the redneck.
And who's the other cat to do that? I was like, well, he was about to get some money or some shit, and he's like, yeah, I'm about to
Oh yeah, there was this motherfucker, he's methed out. He had to have been on meth.
Yeah.
This motherfucker was just like this. Hold up, I'm gonna stand up and show you guys. He was just like this. Oh, there goes my beard.
Oh, no.
He goes just like this. The whole time he's standing like this. Swinging his arms like this, you know? And this motherfucker turned into, and we meet our friends. We're like, hey, what's up? We're talking, and he all of a sudden says, he leans, and I guess the guy we were talking to was a cousin of his. He nudges him in the side. He's like, hey, I'm going to get that settlement. You're like, settlement? He's like, yeah, I'm going to get that settlement. He's like, yeah, the thing with the leg. And I was,
get my leg
like,
back.
And this fucker, he could not stop moving. So he was on meth or some shit.
Here you go. Get to the punchline.
This motherfucker said, he's like, and this dude, our friend was like, so what, you going to get an apartment or something? He's like, apartment? Fucking apartment, I'm getting a trailer. This motherfucker was excited as shit about it too. He's like, I'm getting a trailer. And my buddy's wife turns around and she's just like, oh my fucking God. But this dude, he had to have been on some shit, man. I mean, he had the sores on his face and all that shit. He was all fucked up.
That's white ghetto fad right there, man. Yeah. A trailer.
Represent.
No apartment, man.
I just spilled beer on your floor, dude.
And on that fucking note, let's jump into this game, man. Dead man walking. In my age, stand up, baby. Episode 50.
I can't me for a duck ass nigga like I won't bend it cause I let you slide but now it's time to give you the pills. Catch me slipping, I ain't tripping nor scared. I ride alone, I see you calling up your people. Don't hear
beat up your fucking homeboy. I ain't running, I ain't hiding, bitch, I ride too. Fuck how many you bringin', cause them niggas duck and die too. Like, this pussy nigga showing off for these hoes. Pointing fingers, loud talking, trying to put on a show. Okay, I wait until you walk out that door and start spitting, hit you up with that thing and murder you. Hit them bitches, see, I ain't no fuck nigga, so don't play me as one. Don't let the looks fool you, nigga, cause the cane ain't no bump. Don't keep it in the trunk of my waist if it's threats that you talk. It ain't just because you off it, you just a dead man walking.
Watch out, boy.
The buddy better chill with all that talking. Keep on thinking I won't offer you
something.
Put you and your dogs barking in front of them hoes, clogging, get finished. Now fill your coffin, use up.
Oh, watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man, tell me what he said.
Watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man, tell me what he said.
Oh, watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man, tell me what he said.
Oh, watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man. Tell me what
this pussy nigga shot at me because his homie tried to bitch. Ain't no stains on my dick. Guess the pussy nigga miss me. Fuck calling my niggas up. I'ma ride on this sissy. Got word from the junkies that this nigga stay in Kerosene.
Come on, nigga.
Dumped at him and loose the hollows. Blood splattered them broken bottles. Hopped back in the Monte Carlo. Head to the crib and took a shower. Changed my clothes and said a prayer. Asked the Lord to forgive me because you know how it is out here. Seem like every day I nigga wanna test my weight, like every day a demon tryna test my fight. Keep telling them they'll never underestimate any nigga I hit, cause it ain't what you think. Let them look spooky cause it ain't told in the face. Something that an OG nigga told me one day. He said murder don't have no color or race, and death don't motherfucking discriminate.
I respect the type of nigga that is willing to fight. See, talking niggas is cowards and I don't take threats like this. So be careful who you fuck with, cause some niggas ain't talking, they just watching. That's a dead man walk.
Watch out, boy.
The buddy better chill with all that talking. Keep on thinking I will offer you something. Put you and your dogs barking in front of them hoes, clogging, get fit it. Now fill your coffin, use up.
Oh, watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man, tell me what he said.
Watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man, tell me what he said.
Oh, watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man, tell me what he said.
Oh, watch out, boy.
Don't ask that dead man, tell me what he said.
What's this? Hey, my nigga, I'm tired of these old fuck niggas. Count my nigga, these nigga, hey, it's time to end this shit, my nigga. Hey, I wasn't with this B shit, my nigga, but it's down now. Fuck these nigga, we finna take that. Hey, Taz in the back with the motherfucking K, nigga. He on the drum, nigga. And I got Right Beats back there too. But I keep telling these niggas, man, hey, what's the motherfucking code, nigga? What's the motherfucking code, nigga? 305 or die.
Yes, sir, baby. Episode 50 once more, man.
Wow.
That's my man Kane right there.
You were trying to do the clap, weren't you?
Nah, I'm trying to play the damn beat.
We had to do the clap special for Fro. Fro loves the clap.
The extended clap.
That sounds really fucked up. I'm not even going to say that again. I'm sorry, man. That was not cool.
That's funny.
Bad choice of words.
So, yeah, man, we've been talking about MIA, of course. We talked about the 80s, the 90s. And now, man, you
ripped
got
up
the
that
new
beat,
sound, man. What's happening?
You ripped up that beat.
Oh, thank you,
that
man.
Shit's hard.
Thank you. This is my tribute to Miami. This call this shit Miami Vice, man. After watching Cocaine Cowboys, which we about to get into in just a minute, and listening to all the Kool & Dre, all that stuff, man, had me motivated on this bitch. For real. But yeah, man, so the new sound, though, man,
yeah.
It's like, to me, you got, to me, Kool & Dre is the Miami sound to me.
Right now. But like Kool said in that interview, he was like, you know, they listen to 80s music before they even make their beats.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
You know
that 80s sound is Miami.
Hell yeah. And then, of course, now as far as artists go, you got Rick Ross, man. Shit, Carol City Cartel. The artists they talked about in the interview, C-Ride.
Diaz Brothers.
Yeah, Diaz Brothers on production, banging out some mega beats.
Yes.
The Runners, even though they from Orlando, they fuck with Miami heavy.
Man, I don't even like the Runners, man.
Oh, you fucking
They
nuts.
Got a white dude.
So what? You silly.
Kill
that dude's
yourself.
That dude's
sound?
A dick.
Wow. This dude hating on the Runners.
Yeah. Kill yourself.
I don't hate the Runners.
It's the dudes that made Hustling.
I like the Runners, wow. Man. I just don't like their style, man. That fucking dude. Just don't take pictures. No more publicity pictures.
Wow.
We're probably going to go to Miami, and we're going to go to Kool's fucking restaurant, and then
and
I'm going to get
dude
fucking...
the Runners are going to punch you in the face.
Exactly. And I'm going to say, I was wrong. My apologies.
And then you're going to get a settlement and go get a trailer.
Because that's what us whites do.
Hey, bro, who you feeling out my MIA, man?
Ross.
Ross. Yeah. Yo. What'd you call him, the love child of Isaac Hayes or something?
That's right. Yo. That's right. Yeah. I remember that. Hold on. You got an Isaac Hayes, dude. You got an Isaac Hayes album cover up on this wall somewhere, don't you?
Hell yeah. Right over there, bro. He's looking at you right
there
now.
There he is.
You can't escape that motherfucker, boy.
Wow. Hey.
Ross.
Shit, man. Shit. MIA is just, they doing it up real big, man. Mm-hmm. And it's like a lot of people now then kind of moved and almost called Miami like their second home. Like, you got Fat Joe from New York. Be down there constantly. Yeah.
Yep.
You got Lil Wayne.
Get chubby
and
move to Miami.
Yep. Lil Wayne and Baby.
Timbo.
They had the Katrina come through. Nope. They relocated to Miami.
Mariah.
They got, they got a, like a one bedroom.
Mariah's thick ass.
Did they get a one bedroom down there? What?
You said they got one bedroom, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a two bedroom. They one into a toy room.
Oh, wow.
Don't kiss and tell.
Your boy goes down there and fucking parties, don't he?
Who that?
Nobody.
Oh yeah.
Shit. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Fucking. My homie Cleve. What's good, bro?
Shit.
Be down there telling me the fucking Miami life is just,
give us some party.
Crazy.
Give us some censored party calls,
negative.
Man.
Negative. Send flicks.
You ain't gotta say any names.
Heck yeah.
We can black out some people's
Send
eyes.
Flicks.
But Miami, man, is like, he said it's like the new Hollywood, man. Oh. It's like the,
didn't he say a lot of the girls down there assholes?
Oh yeah. He said the chicks is stuck up. They said Diddy. They beautiful
fuck.
To look at, but he said they're
thick
assholes.
As fuck. Like Trick Daddy said.
They bleach their buttholes and stuff. That's pretty.
He said it's pretty.
That's pretty.
You fucked up, man.
Digging a booty ass and asshole bleaching broads.
Well, Trick Daddy said, oh, it's in the water.
That's
girls
right.
Down there is thicker. He said they prettier.
Their faces are prettier.
He said it's in the fucking water. But man, we about to get into the big interview, which we've been talking about, man. You heard the Cocaine Cowboys reference. We talked with Billy Corbin.
The best. One of the best interviews we've had ever.
Yeah.
This dude.
And when it comes to documentaries, the dude puts it down. If y'all haven't seen Cocaine Cowboys, go rent it. You can get it all over the place.
CocaineCowboys.com. We'll say it again after the fucking half hour interview.
Hell yeah.
Because that shit, usually, just so y'all, just so everybody knows, I mean, I edit these interviews to chop out the bullshit, the ums and the ands. This fucker, man, the whole 30 minutes we had to go because everything this dude had to say was wow.
Yeah, and if you've already seen it.
Oh, my God.
And you're looking forward to part two, which is coming soon, then you really going to want to listen. Cause
yeah, if you've seen it, this dude says a lot of inside shit that's just, it seems like a movie. It don't even seem real. It's amazing.
Exactly. If you haven't seen it, catch the fuck up, man.
Yeah.
But here we go, man. Hood Hype exclusive, Billy Corbin, Cocaine Cowboy. Keep going.
Delivery service at Trotuck Company. Yup, got things there delivered in monthly. From Ocho and dudes from Medellin. They have more bread and more blow I ever seen. Hooked up with Mickey, last name Monday. He controlled the boats and the planes that hit the runway. The travel service jumping, first dudes to pop it off. Madison, Bahamas, that's halfway and drop it off. None of this is acting, none of this WrestleMania. Had the bank with
HoodHype.com listeners, y'all chilling with Billy Corbin, the director of Cocaine Cowboys. And Billy, I want to ask you, man, we noticed that you started off, you know, doing acting. We looked at some of your earlier work. When did you decide to make the switch from acting going into the directorial role?
Hood Heights guys are homeless. That's some scary shit. not a lot of people bring that up, but I mean, I did that when I was a kid, and growing up, it was just a hobby, you know, something to pass the time. And I mean, it was from growing up around, you know, being on set, watching movies being made. I worked with a lot of good people and realized that it seemed to be cooler what was going on behind the scenes. So I, you know, growing up watching what was going on in front of the camera, I said, I think it's time to get behind the camera right quick. So I did.
Okay. That's what's
up. And actually, in middle school, I met my partner, Alfred Spellman, and we basically ran the TV production class when we were, you know, in seventh grade, and that's when we first started working together, and we had our first production company officially when we were 14 years old.
Okay.
Now, that was our first company.
Was Cocaine Cowboys your first actual documentary that you released publicly?
Well, no, Cocaine Cowboys was our second. We did a movie called Raw Deal, A Question of Consent, which premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in 2001. That's that big independent film festival, one of the biggest in the world, that Robert Redford puts on in Park City, Utah every year. And we got a lot of good press out of that. We got the front page of the New York Post on that movie. It was about the alleged rape of a stripper at a fraternity house at the University of Florida in Gainesville. It's pretty much, the facts of the case are almost identical to the Duke rape case that we saw go down last year. The difference is that whole alleged rape was caught on videotape by not one but two cameras all night long for hours by the fraternity men, and those videotapes were released to the public. And so we use the videotape of the alleged rape in the movie, along with interviews with the woman and with one of the guys who she said raped her, and they go back and forth and argue about whether or not what you're witnessing on the footage is a rape. So obviously we got a lot of attention for that.
I gotta say, man, I got a question for you. Do you hate Florida? I'm just messing. It's funny. I was looking at Mass Appeal magazine. They're like, yeah, this dude brings out the raw, rugged, the gritty side of Florida. I mean, I didn't even know. Even watching Cocaine Cowboys, man, it's that movie. You'd think that you took the story from Scarface. I mean, it's insane how much these other movies are based on the reality of what was going on in Miami.
Well, you know what they say? They say, Florida is a sunny place for shady people, you know? so that's what we do. I mean, the name of our company is Raconteur, which is based on a French word that means one who tells stories with skill. And there's so many stories out of Miami. There's so many great, stories to tell. And that's really what we wanted to dedicate ourselves to. I mean, our movies are really love letters to Florida, is what they are, if you think about it from a different perspective.
I mean, you actually wrapped the movie up on a really good note. And, I mean, as far as the Cocaine Cowboys is concerned. And did you actually interview these people yourself, or did you have someone else doing it and you guys were
it was Alfred and I. We were all on set the whole time. I mean, the whole Raconteur crew was there for each and every one of them. We shot them ourselves. We conducted the interviews ourselves. Absolutely. It's interesting you said about Scarface and it being the real Scarface. I mean, Oliver Stone, who wrote the screenplay for Scarface, Brian De Palma, of course, directed it, he came down to Miami in the early 1980s to, quote, research that shit. So, and Oliver Stone is a very hands-on researcher, let me tell you that. He's a real nose-on, researcher. But he really immersed himself in the culture, and I think it's a testament. I think Cocaine Cowboys is a testament to what an outstanding job that he did researching Scarface and putting that movie together, because it is so accurate. In fact, a lot of people will, after they see Cocaine Cowboys especially, will say that it almost looks like they toned that shit down, because it would have been, if they did it exactly as it was happening, it would seem way over the top, you know what I mean? But that was exactly what was happening in Miami at the time. In fact, even worse than Scarface depicts it. And Oliver Stone really did his homework down here. And you have to remember, all of these guys, John Roberts, Mickey Munday, Griselda Blanco, Rizzi, all these guys were operating in Miami when Oliver Stone was here writing the script for Scarface.
Oh, that's a good point.
So all the shit that he was hearing about on the streets in his research, all that shit was what these guys were doing.
Oh, man.
So, when you think, John Roberts, he and his blonde model, Ford model girlfriend go to Colorado and they buy cougars and they got fucking mountain lions wandering around their property. So, I don't know, flash forward 3 or 4 years, Tony Montana gets married, and what does he give his wife as a gift? His beautiful blonde, model girlfriend, the wife, as a gift? A fucking tiger.
Right.
So I haven't spoken to Oliver Stone. I don't know that he was ever at John's house or whatever, but a lot of this stuff is right on the nose. Griselda Blanco's last husband, Dario Sepulveda, we saw a DEA surveillance photo of him from 1980-81. And this guy is wearing, I shit you not, a big white suit with a red shirt with the collar out, open shirt with the cougar in, with the bling, with the collar, the red collar over the white, with a white coat. And we're like, holy shit, that's fucking Tony Montana's suit. And with the white jacket, the white slacks, the red shirt open, I mean, everything. And I'm like, yeah. And that's 3 years before Al Pacino wore that suit, in Scarface. And, we were just like, so this is what Oliver Stone was exposed to, was all the shit that we document in Cocaine Cowboys.
Now I want to ask, too, how accessible were the people you talked to? I mean, was there any difficulty at all getting in touch with these people, or were any of them kind of hesitant to speak out on it?
Well, yes. I mean, truthfully, yeah, because there's a whole list of people that we were in touch with that never agreed to be interviewed, that we didn't interview. I mean, you got Miguel Perez, the other hitman. He's that crazy motherfucker that took the bayonet at the Miami airport.
Well, I was wondering if he died. I was wondering if he died or whatever, because he just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, well, Paco Mejia was the guy he stabbed. That guy survived. I think he got killed later, but Miguel Perez, the hitman, you know, that's actually, you're right about that. We don't actually tell you at the end what happened to that guy. That guy will actually be getting out of prison in about 6, 7, 8 years, I think, which is some pretty scary shit. And
yeah, that actually brings me to a question. Did you catch any static from doing the film? I mean, were you getting threats or anything like that while you were putting together the film?
No, not while we were putting together the film. After the film, though, Michael Corleone Sepulveda, who is Griselda's youngest son,
he did reach
out and show up at the office of our executive producer on the movie.
Shit.
And he was cool. He said that his mom saw the movie on DVD in Colombia and that she liked it.
Wow.
And we're trying to work. So, you know, we got Cocaine Cowboys 2 coming up, so we're going to try to maybe, you know, see if she won't make a cameo appearance in something, you know, in one of the maybe Cocaine Cowboys 3 or 4 or something.
That's funny. Me and Major were talking about that. We were wondering, you know, whatever happened to her, but, you know, because we were talking about at the end of the movie how basically she got deported. And
yeah.
I think, what was it, one of her other sons was killed, I think, wasn't it?
Two of them, maybe three of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like nobody ever knew what happened to her, but obviously she's still around.
In fact, what happened is her son's kind of the same path. You know, they got busted, they got deported. I mean, pretty much within weeks or months of them being deported back to Colombia, boom, they were murdered, the sons. And so everybody kind of thought that maybe, you know, the same thing would go down with Griselda, but, you know, it's been so many years, you know, and she kind of has the money and the resources to be able to, you know, keep herself. I mean, it's got to be a shitty life, you know, but at least she can keep herself moving and hopefully keep herself, for her sake, keep herself safe.
I'm sorry, any chick that's down for murdering kids and families, I will not fuck with.
It's, you know, it's incredible because, you know, you walk away from the movie and we have a lot of interesting characters right there in the movie talking to you first person. But the one character that everybody walks away with going like, that was the best character, everybody says Griselda, you know?
Definitely. Now,
scary.
I want to ask you this, man. Any plans to do a feature film based off some, maybe, you know, taking a character from Cocaine Cowboys and maybe doing a film instead of the documentary? Or are you just strictly going to stick with the documentary?
Yes, no, I mean, you know, we're doing the documentary series of Cocaine Cowboys movies direct to DVD, but we are actively developing a feature, you know, on the life of times, life and times of Griselda Blanco.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know,
right.
we think that sort of, you know, I mean, talk about the real Scarface, you know, I mean, that's the story right there, and there's so much more to her. I mean, she's such a, you know, fascinating and multifaceted character that you just, you know, you leave the movie, I feel like, you know, Cocaine Cowboys, you just kind of tease, you know, that story. You know, you're just like, you just want more, you want to know more, you want to know everything you can know about this woman. That's why we're making Cocaine Cowboys 2, to give you even more. We talk about the murder, the actual murder of her husband's in the second movie and all this kind of shit that we didn't have time to get to in the first one. But there's no question that if we can, you know, find a really good, strong way in terms of the screenplay in order to condense her life story and just, you know, into like one perfect Scarface-like epic, you know, we're really trying to make that happen as quickly as possible, especially because there's so much heat on it right now, you know, and a lot of guys are coming out of the woodwork, you know, a lot of powerful people, especially in the hip-hop community, who want to get behind it and push it through and see it happen in Hollywood.
Now, quick question, man, this, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who would you like to have play that character?
I've been thinking about it for a really long time. I'm talking years now, and I have not nailed it yet. I mean, I've got some ideas, but I haven't nailed it, and I don't want to say until I feel like, oh, shit. I feel like when we were talking about, like, my producer, Alfred Spellman, he said, you know, who do you want to do the music on Cocaine Cowboys? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, there's only really a few people that I want to do it. He's like, well, who's, like, your wish list? I said, well, first, Jon Hammer. Because that guy wrote 4 years of Miami Vice music. You know, like he like scored the 1980s. You know, he did the Miami Vice theme, he did Crockett's theme, he did all that shit. And then the only one I think it was on my list was Giorgio Moroder, who did the Scarface soundtrack. You know, and that was pretty much it. And so he started with Jon Hammer, and I just feel like we fucking nailed that. You know, it was like the perfect, you know, casting for the music for Cocaine Cowboys. So I kind of feel the same way about this. It's like until I got the perfect idea, it's really tough. I mean, you know, and what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, after seeing her, I mean, in Hollywood nowadays, they can do a lot of different things with makeup and, you know, J-Lo, making the body J-Lo. Type. J-Lo.
But see, that's the thing. A lot of people throw out, like, just the names of, like, a lot of famous Latin actresses. You know what I mean? But then it's like, but you really got to pull something off here, though. You know what I mean? It's going to cover a lot of years. It's a complicated character.
She's cold-blooded. I mean, that's definitely cold-blooded. So that's real tough. I don't know either, but...
Yeah, it's a tough one, I'm telling you. And I've been thinking about it for years, and I got some ideas. I still feel like I haven't nailed it yet. But I also feel like when we start taking meetings for it, someone's going to walk in the room, and you're just going to feel it too. You know, and you're gonna think maybe this person will be right, and then they'll walk in, and you'll go, "Fuck, that's the godmother." You know.
Hell yeah, that's cool.
I think Rosie O'Donnell would do well. yeah, she does got the cold blooded thing. So Noriega, he did a track, that Cocaine Cowboys track. Did you guys hook up with him? Did he come to you guys, or did you guys look him up, or how did that work out?
Well, you know what happened? Last summer, about 3 months before Cocaine Cowboys came out in the theaters, we got the shit bootlegged out of us.
Oh, no shit.
The movie started showing up everywhere. We started having some of our guys who work at Raconteur, they come in, they're like, "I was just at the Carroll City Flea Market, and these guys are selling it. They said they sold thousands of them already. I just went to the barber shop in Miami Gardens." They played it on a loop, on an endless loop, all day, every day, on two TVs in the barber shop. There's guys in there who say they've seen it 30, 40 times. They just sit there and watch it all day long for weeks and whatever. And so we realized that you know, the cat was out of the bag. And, I mean, who's ever heard of a fucking documentary getting bootlegged? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, so it's like, obviously we knew there was some heat on the street for it. And so, you know, we were shooting this series called Clubland about the South Beach, the behind the scenes of the South Beach nightclub business. And so we had these crews every single day working on this show. So I said, you know, let's be positive about this. You know, they say when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, right? You know, so I said, fuck it, let's send the crew out to the flea market. And let's just start doing it. I came up with this idea for a web series called Streets of Miami, the Cocaine Cowboys Phenomenon. And we basically just started in these little 2 or 3 minute webisodes that we put up on YouTube. We started tracing kind of like, you know, how what the response to this movie was on the streets of Miami, just the bootlegging phenomenon. And then we went to the barbershop and did an episode at the barbershop. And then, then people started coming out of the woodwork. We started hearing from Pitbull. We started hearing from Trick Daddy. We started hearing from Nori. We started hearing from Kool and Dre. We started hearing from Khaled. We saw all these people, just one person after another. We're getting in touch with the people who work with us or whatever, with Pharrell, with all of these people. And then a bunch of people said, like, well, we want to do a Streets of Miami episode of our own, because they everybody wanted to acknowledge the fact that they were people who had seen it first. You know what I mean? Yeah, and so then we had all these guys. So if you go to YouTube and you search Streets of Miami or Raconteur or any of that shit, you'll find, or Cocaine Cowboys, you'll find these episodes. I think we've got like over 300,000 views of all of these webisodes. So basically, we kind of turned it into a commercial for the movie, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
that's insane.
And you know, like, we tried to make the best of a bad situation, you know, with that, you know, but like, and that was when we got in touch with Nori, and Nori at that point had already taken one of Jan Hammer's original score cues from the music, and he created a beat out of it. They had already used the bootleg to rip dialogue from the movie that they used in the song, and he just wrote all these verses that were just like the story of the whole movie, you know, separated with dialogue and everything. And I was like, this is great. And then a couple months later, and that was on our, we did a mixtape for Cocaine Cowboys that came out, where was that? Probably around last November.
I didn't
and then
see
just
that.
A few,
where can I get
yeah,
that
pretty,
at?
I don't know. I mean, I know it was online for a while, but I mean, you could probably just Google Cocaine Cowboys mixtape. They just gave me one as soon as it dropped in November, and then Nori a few months ago they called up and they said, we wanted, you know, can we get some footage from the movie? We want to do a music video of the Cocaine Cowboys single, which at that point had gotten like 100,000 listens on his 100,000 plays on Nori's MySpace or whatever. So they did this music video. They put it up on YouTube. They put it up on MySpace, and then MySpace banned the fucking thing.
Yeah, didn't it had some of the footage in there, right? Or did they ban it because it was vulgar or something like that?
Exactly, they banned it because it had the dead bodies, it had the drug content, because it used footage from the movie, so the movie is an R-rated movie, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a hard R because, you know, we got dead bodies and, you know, people doing drugs and everything, so, you know, so they basically violated their, you know, their policies or whatever, so, but it was still available on YouTube. So the same day that MySpace banned it, Nori does this interview. Okay, the interview goes all over the internet. In one day, like 10,000 people watched the music. So we sent MySpace a little thank you email for that. You know, we thanked them for banning the
Was Mickey Monday? Was he really as big as an asshole as he appeared to be in the movie?
What does that mean?
He was like tearing into everybody. He was calling all the drug lords, like, he was calling them, like, small time and shit. Is that, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't even catch any flack from even,
you know,
Columbia and
Mickey,
shit for the...
Mickey Monday's a redneck, you know what I mean? I mean, he says it himself. He says, I'm a redneck, you know? Yeah. He's like, and you know, he's a big motherfucker, too. I mean,
oh, is
like
he really?
Tall. Oh, yeah, he's a tall guy. Yeah, I mean, you can't miss this guy. He walks into a nightclub in Miami, he's got his fucking cowboy hat on, you just gotta look straight up in the air and you see him, you know.
Reminds me of Don Imus, to be honest with you,
you know. Yeah, but he's an old white boy. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, that's what he is. And so, you know, and so he's, you know, this is a guy though, but you know, the guy's fucking MacGyver, you know what I mean? Because like everything's gotta be just right and everything's gotta work like clockwork.
Oh, some of the shit was genius. I could not believe the thing with the flatbed trucks and all that. That is just I mean, that's the one problem I have with your movie, man, and it, you know what it is? It's with any movie, is I just want to see the guys get more, and I don't want to see them lose, and they always freaking lose, man. It's like Goodfellas. I mean, it's because it's a true story, man. You're eventually going to get busted, but man, damn it, do I hate seeing them lose.
You know, John Roberts says, and you know, in this game, you either end up dead or in jail. You know, and somehow both he and Mickey. You know, I mean, yeah, they landed in jail, but not now. You know what I'm saying? They're out now. So
I'm surprised
they
got out.
Break the rules.
For all the shit they did, it's amazing that they're out right now.
It's a really interesting story. They got busted. When they got busted, the FBI and the DEA were quoted as saying at the time that this was the most sophisticated drug trafficking ring that they had ever seen up to that date. Now, what does this mean? This means that they're learning shit from this crew. You know what I'm saying? They're learning that these guys are outspending them, they're outgunning them, they're outmanning them, that they're dealing with some serious shit here, and unless the feds upgrade, they're never going to be able to catch these guys. So what happens? A year after, these guys are busted and get sentenced to what, like 9 years, 10 years, whatever they get sentenced to, Congress acts, and they do mandatory sentencing. Sentence guideline reforms. Basically, for the shit that John and Mickey did a year earlier, now you get life. But because these were the pioneers, they got busted before the government could act, basically. So, literally, now everybody says, well, they got busted a year later, they would have gotten life. I say maybe not, because it's only because of guys like this getting busted that the government said, shit, we gotta make the punishment more serious here. And so these guys got 10 years, and less than a year later, the United States government says, if you do shit like this, you got to go away for life. Otherwise, the amount of money involved, 10 years in, you know, 10 years in prison is not a deterrent. You know, so that's actually an interesting story. Another thing that we don't touch upon in the in the first movie.
Yeah. So in the second one, you guys did cover the godmother a lot in this movie, and so in the second movie, there's plenty to talk about in the second one. Is Rivi coming back for the second one?
Yes.
Is that dude scary as hell to interview? Because, I mean, just watching him scares the piss out of me, the way he's like, oh yeah, just kill him. You know, we just kill him.
I gotta tell you, Rivi, what's so scary about Rivi is how not scary he is, you know, because he is just about as cool of a cat as you can ever meet in your life.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
guys,
he'll describe a murder.
Fuck.
He'll describe a murder and just be nonchalant, just like it's a regular story.
Yeah, you sit there and you're watching him and you're talking with him and it's every once in a while you got to kick yourself in the head and go, this guy's talking about like machine gunning women and children in broad daylight in the middle of the street, because it's just like he's talking to you about the weather outside or about the football game last week. You know what I mean? And just there's just something so, I mean, it's chilling when you think about it, but when you're sitting there, he's so disarming. You know, he's so charming and he's so laid back, and you let your guard down so easily with him, which is probably why he was so good at what he is, you know, at what it is that he did, you know, because he could sneak right up on you and, you know, and just be all smooth and just, you know, chat with you, and then the next thing you know, guy's got a fucking Mac 11.
On the second movie, we you know, noticed that you were doing a thing for independent artists to submit their music to go ahead and get featured in the second film, man. I mean, us being a hip hop based website, how did that turn out? Did you get some pretty good music to use for the second, you know, Cocaine Cowboys?
We got some pretty strong entries. It was some stiff competition. I believe that we wound up going with a group out of Oakland, because the movie takes place in Oakland, actually, the vast majority of it. It's called Cocaine Cowboys 2, The Godmother Returns. And it really picks up exactly where Cocaine Cowboys left off, with the godmother going away to prison. And, we discover that even in federal prison, she is still running a $40 million a year cocaine business right from the prison. And so what happens is she was busted in California. She was doing her federal time in a women's prison in California. And a local guy, black kid, in his early 20s, Charles Cosby, writes her a fan letter in jail saying, you know, I heard about you and what you've done, and you know, you're my idol, and on and on. And the next thing you know, they start up this pen pal phone relationship where they're talking to each other 5-6 times a day on the phone.
And this is a guy from the trailer, right?
Yes, that's Carl. Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, so the next thing you know, she's supplying him with cocaine, and he is carrying. He's fucking her in prison.
No,
he goes
shit
to prison. They pay the guards $1,500 cash when he comes in. They go behind the curtain in the multi-purpose room where they meet for visiting hours, and he fucks her, and then they go back, and they basically carried on this love affair for years while she was incarcerated. And I mean, within 7 days of his first visit to her at the prison, a woman showed up at his door with 50 kilos of cocaine, compliments of the godmother, and said, "Go out and sell this and see what you can do." And basically, within about 3 months, with getting a 10 to 20% commission, this kid was a millionaire.
Jeez.
I mean, and he was selling crack on the streets of Oakland. You know, I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, $1,000 a week, $2,000 a week, whatever, you know, whatever he was doing. It at his height, he just did not have, you know, the demand was there. He just, nobody had a supplier like Griselda Blanco, and this guy was, you know, sleeping with the godmother, and next thing you know, being supplied by the godmother, and then he was the biggest fucking thing in East Oakland.
Man, I gotta be honest, this does not even sound like it could be real. This sounds like a goddamn movie script. This is insane. Dude,
you can't make this shit up. No one would believe you.
No shit. It's just amazing that this really took place, man.
I gotta tell you, as cool and weird as it sounds, the story gets so much more bizarre, you can't even believe it.
You're kidding me. No, I'm
you just can't even believe what happened. I mean,
and the second one, or are you talking about number three, or I mean, you're doing a whole series, you said?
I'm going to the second one. I've just given you like the bare bones.
Okay.
I mean, like, and I mean, you're right. The setup. I just gave you the setup, and the setup in and of itself is fucking ridiculous.
It is.
You know? I mean,
it's amazing.
It's absolutely crazy. but you know, it gets what happens in the story. I mean, when he starts fucking this white woman that he met on visiting day at the prison, whose cousin is in prison with Griselda, and then Griselda finds out about it, hires a private detective to follow them around.
Holy shit.
I mean,
she killed his family and all his
elders
and everybody.
Well, I'll tell you, that story certainly ends in gunfire. And,
oh my
I mean,
God.
It's just absolutely, I mean, you just, and then Griselda hatches a plan on how she's going to escape from prison. And she recruits Charles to help her with it. I mean, you can't believe what that involves. It's just so. And again, if you made it up, nobody would believe you. So the shit's got to be real.
I can't believe. So when is this dropping? When is the movie drop?
Before the end of the year.
Okay, excellent.
Before the end of the year, direct to DVD.
Okay.
No theater bullshit. Just direct to DVD.
Yeah, I hear that's where the money is anyway these days. So.
Well, you know, we'd like to at the very least. You know, the least the bootleggers can do is buy it from us before they bootleg it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, you know, at the very least, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get, you know, we'll be able to move, you know, sufficient weight before they start ripping us off, you know.
Right. So, all right. Well, we're gonna try and wrap it up, but real quick, what's this Clubland.tv about?
Yeah, Clubland.tv. That should be premiering in the fall. It is a documentary web series about the opening of what has become the hottest South Beach VIP club, Mokai. And we were basically following these guys around for 9 months and watched just this dog-eat-dog, backstabbing competition that happens with South Beach nightclubs and when they're competing for, you know, millions of dollars in terms of bottle service and everything. And this nightclub has become the place where, I mean, this was a story out of the Super Bowl. This was the party where Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes were at. This is the party where Justin Timberlake and Scarlett Johansson were making out, that all that news came out of. This was the place where they were. I mean, this is where all the hot parties have. This is where Quincy Jones hangs out when he's in town. Pharrell, all the A-listers are here at this place. And we were with the owners for the 9 months that it took for them to open this place up. And they thought it was going to take 3 or 4 months. But then you don't know what these club owners will do to each other, calling the cops and blowing up the transformers. And, I mean, it's just, if they want to keep you from, you know, if they want to keep the competition from opening, they will do fucking anything. And we were there and we caught the whole thing. And it's like, you know, it's the real, you know, if you ever wondered what this shit was like during the day, you know, behind the scenes, what it took to make South Beach nightclub business, you know, what it took to make it pump. I mean, this is the story. It's pretty outrageous. And thanks, you know, to Cocaine Cowboys and all this stuff, everybody, like, we just got 100% access. We were just there for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it got really fucking ugly.
I gotta give it to you, man. You got a gift for finding controversial shit, man. Some of the stuff I wouldn't even have thought about. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, well, wait till you see what's coming up. I mean, Raconteur, if you go to Raconteur.com, it's Raconteur.com.
Okay.
I mean, everything on our slate coming up is just hot stuff.
2007's a big year then, huh? And 2008?
2008 will be even bigger.
Oh, man, can't wait to see what you got, man.
Keep it up, man. Keep it up.
Seriously. So, all right, Billy Corbin, everybody, the director of Cocaine Cowboys. You probably read about him in XXL, As Is Magazine, Mass Appeal Magazine. Definitely check him out. It's www.racantour.com. We will have the link posted up on the website. And I think that's it, man. Thanks so much for your time, man. This has been,
thank you, guys.
It's been a great, great half hour, man.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Take it easy, man.
All right.
Yes, sir, baby.
Bro was doing a quick mic check for you.
There, man.
God, man.
Wow.
Shit, man.
Yo, if you're a lover of Skyface, you know that you're rewinding in that whole interview right now.
Exactly, man.
I can't believe how that shit, that dude went, he just, it was.
Cougars.
After.
Cougars, nigga.
Hell yeah, man.
Hit after hit, this dude, man. Oh my
shit,
God.
Classic, man.
Billy, you are more than welcome back on the show for any other shows or any other documentaries you put together, man. That shit is, wow. That
heat, was, man. www.cocainecowboys.com. Yes. Or www.raconteur.
It's RAKONTUR.com. We're going to post that up on the website.
Yep. Us is,
check it out.
Film company, man. Hot
that
shit.
That is
right
Miami.
There.
Drugs yes, mean sir. Miami. When I think cocaine. There you go. When I think cocaine, I think Miami.
Hey, that's a bad thing, too.
I know, but
it's like he was saying, though. What do you say? Miami's a sunny place for shady characters, man.
Yeah.
That shit is the fucking truth, man. It's like, it's a lot of. It's gritty shit down there.
It's funny, I was reading an interview with, or actually I was looking at YouTube on those videos he was talking about where the dudes had bootlegged his DVD, and they actually went through and, well, like you said in the interview, they interviewed these guys in one of the flea markets, in the Carroll City flea market or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about, you know, the shit you see on TV is the big, you know, Bank of America buildings and the big-ass fucking skyline and Miami Beach and shit, but you don't see... You know, you don't see the real what goes on in the 305. You know what I mean? You don't see like the fucking gritty shit, the crime and the everything sunny Miami, and you know they're trying to keep that image. But man, I still think cocaine when I think Miami. But that's just me.
Cocaine and beautiful women,
hand ass cheeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloody noses.
Exactly, and Latin ass cheeks. That shit is.
Straight out of the water.
You know, speaking of that,
what's happening?
We were having a talk the other day about mixed races.
Okay.
And you were saying white, a white chick a chick that's white and black mixed
black.
Is black.
Plain and simple.
And then a chick who's Mexican and white mixed is Mexican.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe you didn't notice.
Okay. But see, I never thought of Mariah. I swear to God on this, I never thought of Mariah Carey as being black or white. I just thought she was just a fucking mixed chick. I mean, that's the way
with a big upper lip.
Yeah, and she's fucking five
huge,
fucking big old titties and a round ass, yeah. Motherfucker. Anyway, but so what?
So you never thought of her as a black chick, for real?
No, I mean, I know she was. I know she's half black, but I'm just saying that you know
your brain wouldn't let you accept it.
No,
you trying to claim her?
I'm just saying she's mixed. Her Mac. She's just a mixed chick. I mean, I never, you know what I mean. I think of it as a whole other thing. You know, beige people.
He said beige people.
Yeah.
Nah, man. But
it's like
nah,
my brother said, man. It'd be a good day when everybody's beige. I challenge you to email me.
But for
fucking
real, though,
bastards.
That's how the world looks at it, though. In the world's eyes, man, if you got any minority in you mixed with white, you're the minority.
So what if you're two, what if you're a mix of two minorities? What if you're Mexican and black? You're just...
Blackskin.
Oh, you fucker, man. That ain't right.
Yeah, most of the time, you're going to be Puerto Rican.
That's the way
already.
So black and Chinese is Blackanese.
It's a few rare people, dog, that might be like their parent, one parent's white and the other parent might be mixed black and white. So they 3/4 white and some of them you can't even tell.
They look like Chameleon Air in his video.
Yeah. Even the chicks, they got the mustache. Toupee.
Hell yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Some of them, you know, get by.
Yeah. But black and Mexican, use the nigga.
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, yo.
So you think of Fat Joe as being a black dude?
Nah.
Because he's mixed, isn't he? Oh, no, he's... Oh, this takes me to another thing that I had to ask.
What's that?
What's
Nori? I'm race.
Now, huh? Nori is mixed black.
He's Puerto Rican, right?
Black and Puerto Rican.
Yeah. Okay, so what he's do you... I consider him a black dude, though, because I didn't even know he was Puerto Rican, to be honest, but Noriega just didn't give it away
to me,
I guess.
Spoke Spanish?
He was from Spanish. Iraq. He said he was from Iraq, so I thought he was from Iraq.
He
said Iraq. I thought Iraq. He said he had animal cub. I thought it was his little brother or something. But anyway, no.
Is that
so,
right?
So
go ahead, man. What you saying, though? What's your other question? How come Puerto Rican can say nigga?
Now, if I can even recall it.
That's what he
about the N-word, okay? Yeah. It's okay for Fat Joe to say it.
Yeah.
It's okay for, well, obviously Noriega to say it, but like it's okay for Hispanic dudes to say the N-word, but why was it a big fucking deal when J-Lo said it? Because she's Hispanic.
It wasn't no big deal to me. It's a big deal to the Sharptons, because they got problems with black people saying the
word.
So
did he ever, do you think Sharpton had a problem with Fat Joe? And if he does, then why the fuck isn't
he
queuing
would.
Up every fucking song Fat Joe does?
Because Fat Joe probably ain't big enough in his eyes to even pay attention to.
He probably is too busy fucking spanking it to pictures of J-Lo. She's at the N-word! Fuck her!
Yeah, fuck them. People like that, man, fuck them. But honestly, though, man, I'm going to fuck your mind with some other shit.
Okay.
This what I peep out. In the Latin community, honestly, dog, Puerto Ricans is the niggas of Latins.
For sure.
Hey, Miami, if y'all disagree with me, holla at me. But that's how I see it. Because, like, I got some Mexican friends. They look down on Puerto Ricans and Cubans.
Really? Puerto Ricans.
Yes. Yeah, I swear to God. They racist within their own Latin American community. They look down on them as being... I'm going to put it out. This is what I hear. Man, I'm fucking dirty PRs. Whatever.
They say PR.
Yeah, man. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Public relations representatives?
Y'all all Latins. Yeah, but this shit is crazy to me. It fucked with my head, man.
So are Puerto Ricans, they're generally darker than other...
No, because you got J-Lo who could pass for a Mexican female or anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then you got your people like Felix Trinidad who got the, you know...
That dude
black
looks black.
People hair. Yeah, he looked like a black dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know the average, but... In general, a lot of Puerto Ricans is going to look like black people.
Yeah.
But speak Spanish. Like Tito. He's a prime example.
Yep. Just throws you
off. You saw Tito on the street. You'd be like, what up? What up, cuz?
He'd be like, how about you? Burrito taco.
Shit. Yeah.
Bow. You know what I'm saying? Bow.
And then hits you with a left hook.
Yeah.
But that shit is like.
You can.
That should have thrown you off.
Tiger.
But that's just some shit I observe. I don't even understand it. When I hear Mexican people talk down on other races within a Latin community, the shit fucks with my head, but that's what I see. The shit is fucking crazy, man.
Racist ass Mexican motherfuckers. I have lots of Hispanic friends.
So yeah, man, we about
that gives me a pass, right? Because I say I have Hispanic friends. Don't you love that? Where people say, I don't hate black people. I have lots of black friends.
I've got two. That should be crazy to me.
I've got lots of black friends. My brother-in-law.
My brother-in-law, who I walked in on the bathroom, and I don't like him. That's usually what he's accompanying.
I don't like him. Yeah, I'm not even going to go into that. Okay, here we go.
To the fifth and final.
Who is the fifth and final?
Got Smelly, man, called Bitches and Money.
Fro will probably get a giggle out of this
ridiculous.
Dude.
Ridiculous. We're going to come back and talk some just regular hip hop talk, too, when we get back.
Yes, sir.
Ron Hyde's main thing. Smelly right there.
Yes.
Man, that shit right there.
Yes.
Crazy. fucking music, man. What the fuck?
I don't
is
know,
up?
Man. Look at, I didn't even touch that, dude. I touched that like 5 minutes ago.
Did you?
When the song was wrapping up.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to Hood Hype, y'all.
This bitch,
welcome
man.
To Hood Hype.
Fucking upgrades, goddamn it. But all right, man. Non hip hop, well, not hip hop, non Miami related. What's up with Ron Isley, though?
Wait. Fro had to vent first. Fro had something
bad.
On
go
his
ahead.
Mind.
Yeah.
What'd you have on your mind?
White people.
Oh. Here we go. I wish I had the banjo. I'd play that shit right now.
Next shit. Time that a white person says something to me and they don't fit a certain criteria, such as at least my size, somewhere near my weight, height, build, anything like that, they should also not be blind with a fucking cane and a CNI dog. They should not hit the whip. You can't hit the hoorah. You can't hit the hoorah.
He hit it with his cane?
Man, I come out the goddamn gas station, and I don't park legally. You know I don't be parking it legal. I park legal. This motherfucker got out the car talking about, do they got a windshield wiper? Fuck all blind people today. For the rest of the day.
Wow. Wow, man. You wrong, dog.
You can't see that coming? Let me be louder, white people. I ain't never been stunted on by no other race besides old white men. And they lucky. They lucky. Ooh, they lucky.
Why the fuck you looking at me with those killer eyes?
Why are you nervous?
This
why
motherfucker, he's doing...
Are you parked by me he's outside? A, are you parked by me?
No, man.
All right.
He's looking out the tops of his eyes at me, giving me the fucking evil eye like he's going to fucking murder me.
You represent all white people today.
Thank you.
Fuck blind white
the
men.
Blind, shit. Too.
No, man, I'm with you. I hate white people, too. Fucking bastards.
I told him he was lucky. I said, you can't go. You can't do nothing. What you going to do? Drive away? You going to listen to me? Motherfucker, you lucky it ain't me and one of the old knuckleheads. Knock your block off. Take your cane and whip your ass like you in Singapore.
Knuckleheads.
Oh, shit.
So this happened today?
So he hit the whip for real?
Yeah, we hit the whip with the door because I was parked legally. She didn't expect his blind old punk ass to get out the car. So he opened up his door and hit my shit as I'm about to drive away. So I put it back in park. Man, I almost stuck it up with a blind dude. And his dog. His dog was in the back. I would have poisoned him. Yo, it's ridiculous, man. You
black people. Stop
hoorah.
Hating on white people.
Listen, nah, man. We ain't hating on white people. When they damage your
property. 500 years.
Bro, I think, you're racist, man.
Oh, yeah. I hate all blind folks. Oh, he got smart with me, too. Motherfucker.
What'd he say?
Oh, he got live with you?
Yeah. I was like, man, let me help you back in. I'm still trying to be good. Should try to be a good, upstanding one. I said, let me help you right quick so you don't hit my car again. That seems... Nah, you blind, motherfucker.
What did he say? I don't know what it is with you people or
something. You don't even know that my car is here, one. You don't know you hit it, two. And now I'm trying to help you out. You're going to be like... And I'm like, it ain't no big deal, but let me help you back in so that you don't hit my car again. This motherfucker. Yo, fuck blind people all day.
What'd he say?
He said... Yeah. It's not a big deal.
You just hit my
car. I said, motherfucker, you can't even see what you did, asshole. I asked for a driver's license. That motherfucker.
Oh, man.
Fro's just giving me the evil fucking eye right now, man.
You silly, man.
Fuck
silly. You just made my night with that story.
All today.
That shit.
The next one, I'm going to pop off. It's going to be stupid.
Oh, man. Fro He's always going to like Boondocks, be beating up blind people. Man,
I hope.
That shit's crazy.
I hope so.
Fuck, man. I can't top that. But I'm still going to talk about old man Ron Isley.
Yeah.
Is he blind?
No, he close. He's
blind.
Kidney.
Fuck. Fuck! I heard a Bill Cosby sound. Fuck!
Talking about Mr. Biggs.
Yeah, man. What's up? The Pardon, man. I know y'all probably seen it. It's all over the internet, man.
Fro's got an opinion on this one,
call up the White House and get Ron Isley out of jail.
Bullshit.
Give him a pardon.
Yo, he got diagnosed with kidney cancer.
Okay. Make him pay up.
He's 80. Well, how old is he? 80?
Something.
He's old.
70s at least.
He's old. He's at an age where it would suck to be in jail.
He done birthed. He done been responsible for the music in the background. Well, most of these motherfuckers are being conceived as on a jury.
So that,
but they're going to still convict him for something that.
Yeah, but you 10 years.
This motherfucker. He was asking for cash at every show.
Yeah, you ain't paid taxes in 10 years. That's crazy.
Bro's like, I don't care. Let me get money.
I'm out of that conversation.
You let that one go.
He's like, I don't give a fuck.
The boys is listening.
Man, he's got an opinion. I got an opinion on that myself.
I say, go ahead. Don't even pardon him. Just commute it. And then make that motherfucker be broke.
Okay, I agree with.
Something
where he just at least has to pay. Bullshit. I'm not cool with fucking pardoning it altogether, man. That's unfair because if it were me or Major
Lohan
or Fro or anybody, yeah, I mean, like Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan get a fucking way with it, but, you know.
Paris served her little 22 fucking days. You know what I'm saying? Which was bullshit. I mean, you know.
She came out looking whiter than ever.
Hell yeah. The fuck thing that, bitch. You know, that's lips fucked me up with black people, man. Black people was pissed off.
Yeah.
And she did it 22 days, but they was mad about that and saying she's a celebrity and she not getting equal treatment. But then y'all was turn around and send out an email asking Ron Isley to get special treatment just because he's Ron Isley. That's fucked up, man. Yeah. Ain't no one doing
still,
that shit for
I
me.
Still think, I think Sharpton or somebody's behind it, man, because I think it's more of a target toward Bush than anything else, which is all right, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
he pardoned his homeboy.
Yeah, I think it's a political thing. I think somebody's pulling it out of their ass, making it a political thing. But that's just me.
I don't know, man.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that's what I think it is.
Yeah. Who
anyway,
knows, man.
We probably got a bunch of 16-year-olds listening that are like, who the fuck is Ron Isley?
He's who you were conceived to, you little bastards.
Hell yeah, man.
He makes everything that you fucking listen to, you little fucks.
Baby making classics. I know I've sampled Ron Isley on beats.
Look up Isley on Google and then play it for your girl.
That sounded like some slick talk. She sampled Ron Isley on beats.
God, anything else in the hip-hop world, man, that's popping off? Anything else worth talking about?
That's it. Nah. Huey and Nelly beef. Yeah. Beanie still gay.
Oh, you said Beanie's gay?
We all know Beanie's gay.
Wow. I wouldn't say that.
We've
about
said
Mac
it for
Mittens.
Three full episodes.
I wasn't.
Gay. I was. No, I mean, I shouldn't say we. I'm
Beanie
saying
Siegel?
Yeah. Did you
Beanie
see that
man?
Video?
Beanie, who
you saw the video? Beanie Siegel?
Yeah. I think he was just blow.
I think he was high.
He was
dude,
blow.
God, look. The second we're sitting there and one of you dudes are standing there in front of a camera and I'm rubbing on your face and like looking at you like affectionately and lovingly, fall. You fucking beat me down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd have shoved you.
Exactly.
But see, it's Petey Crack. Petey's like the lower totem pole.
Yeah, you know what? I got to admit, in that video, he was turning around in that video making sure. Well, he kept turning around making sure that Beanie was in the picture. That he wasn't. I swear to God, you could watch. He did this like to make sure he wasn't in front of Beanie. He kept looking over his shoulder. So he's probably feeling the rubbing and loving.
Yeah, that shit crazy, man.
Beanie's gay, though. Anyway.
Let's hit up the rundown, man.
Yeah.
The rundown. Shit, we had my man, what was it, Salazar, kicked it off.
Oh, that shit was
MIA.
Crazy.
Shit was classic, man.
And he's got another track out there that he submitted.
Yep.
And we'll play it. Yep. It was approved.
That one will be coming up later.
That will be coming up later.
We had my man Jay Rose with the track I'm Still Here.
Yes.
Fire cut right there. We had his City Slickers.
The Takeover.
With the Takeover, man. That track right there was nuts, too. I'm feeling the hell out of that one. And then fourth, we had Kane, the Dead Man Walking. That shit reminded me of some flat music, dog.
That was, man. It was a lot like
fucking
it.
Fucking murder music. That shit.
It's slow, but you when he started stepping it up, that shit was hot.
And last, man, Smelly Bitches and Money. The track beats fucking sick on there, man.
Documentary.
Yeah, exactly. The lyrics are crazy.
And of course, today we ain't got to announce cities because you know where the fuck they was from, man. 305.
Yo!
MIA, yo, baby.
Yes, sir.
Stand up, man. We'll be back at y'all in a couple of weeks with fucking
Houston. Yes. We're working on DJ 5000 Watts. If you're listening to this, buddy.
Yes.
We're going to be
hollering
at
us, man.
Yes.
Chopping and screw it. We're doing all that shit out of Houston, man. Check out what's my
DJ Mike 5000 Watts.
Yeah. And check out scratchville.com.
Yes.
The hottest mixes over there, man. HipHopDirectory.com. What's good, James? Got the hottest shit. Anything you're looking for on hip hop, man, you can find it over there. Smoothbeats.com. Big shout out to the homie Adam playing the best mix of hip hop 24/7 over there. If you want to get at us, myspace.com/hoodhype. YouTube.com/hoodhype.
No, fuck YouTube. Fuck YouTube.
Oh, we never, we didn't.
Fuck them. They killed our account. Fuck them.
I thought we had it back.
No, negative. Fuck right. them for the fucking well, Bulldog and Akon bullshit. Fuck them, fuck them, fuck them.
And we touched on that
go
last
straight
week.
Straight to fucking shit.
Have you seen she, some, she got another video, like a video for her at the club again since then?
Who, that little hooker?
Yeah, she is up in there popping something
she was.
Awful.
Dude, she shut up. You looked at that. You looked at
I
that. You were like.
I watched the whole thing three times.
Good. I'm not an old fucking pervert. This shit was like. Yes.
She was.
Yes, she was. It's all true.
She needs some parental guidance.
Yeah, man.
We'll post that in the fucking blog entry for this episode, too. That shit was fucking nice.
Yeah, man. Hoodhype.com/pickspot. Go over there. Check that out. That website is fucking nuts, man.
No, it's hoodhype.pickspot.com.
Oh, hoodhype.
You just don't have it in the notes. Sorry, man.
Actually, it is here. I just can't read.
It keeps drinking too much.
No.
Yeah.
The stereotype keeps going and going.
What's the stereotype? What's the stereotype?
Read.
Oh, this bullshit.
We fucking with you.
What am I? Why would I get offended? I'm the white guy, man. What the fuck are you talking about? You ripping on yourself.
I can read. I don't know about you.
Well, I read my way on the way over here. I could read the street signs, and I got all the way over here without stopping.
I read all the spray paints on the walls.
Hey, Xbox gamer tags, man. Major 517, JMac 248, for Reddick, man.
Yo, I'm going to have
to get
me a gamer
tag. Smell like pussy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Called you out last episode. Yeah. Still ain't seen you, homeboy. And he be on there playing every day, playing the computer. Who the fuck play the computer?
Pussy.
If that you got the bitch. Internet. Yeah.
That was his bitch one time going at you like that.
Pussy.
That couldn't have been him because or she took the box or something.
Something, dog. Man, I'm calling you out, man. Let's game up, man.
What's his
if
name?
You beat me, I'm going to let him know. His name is Ferretic.
Ferretic.
He a Cavs fan, man, so I had to get message after message when the Pistons lost to the motherfuckers. Oh, man, he wouldn't leave me alone.
Do it.
Now he don't want to play.
He a Cavs fan, huh?
Yeah, man. You know we feel about them.
Hey, ain't there a fight going on tonight, by the way?
Oh, yeah, Vernon Forrest fighting, man. I hope that shit don't put me in a coma. if it's like last week, Bernard Hopkins bullshit, I ain't watching, man.
Yeah, I heard that was garbage. Actually, you said it was garbage.
Fucking trash, man. Hit up the Hype Line, 313-406-7577. Major at hoodhype.com.
And
JMac at hoodhype.com.
And Fro.
And Fro.
P-H-R. Wait, how's it go?
Oh,
no, I said
Ara.
P-H-R-O-A.
At hoodhype.com, man.
Yes, sir.
That's it, baby. MIA, man. It's been
fuck blind
lovely
people.
Covering fuck, y'all city.
Fuck blind
Yeah,
people.
One more shot against blind people, man.
Oh, that's painful. Oh, well.
Yeah, we're going to
pay
for
that.
We don't
coming.
Care. We're not censored. Anyway.
Shit, man. That's about it, man. Any last
building.
Words, baby?
The censors are in the building.
Take it easy, Miami. It was a good visit.
Stay classy.
Great place.
We catch y'all in Houston, baby.
Houston where they chop and screw. Look at you didn't stop again. Look at motherfucker.